Heyo gamers, I'm Chuck.
I'm Justin.
And this is
The Fold.
Episode 28. Can't believe it. 28 episodes.
Heyo.
28 weekly episodes of The Fold podcast.
You can listen to an episode every day in February.
For your brain hole. You can stick it right in there.
Open
stick
up.
Stick it in your brain hole. We're coming in like an earworm, an earwick. So we got some bookkeeping.
Yep.
Welcome to the bookkeeping section. This will drop on Monday, so you have a couple days left to get your haiku in.
Yes.
There's a lot of haikus, and you now, if you're listening to this right now, you have Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
And
next weekend, Justin and I are going to read haikus all weekend long. We're having a big family party, and we're going to just tell everybody haikus.
And then from there, we are picking one special winner.
That's right.
That's gone through all of our requirements, which are really only three or four, about making haiku, hashtag Fold Podcast, following us on Twitter.
So it has to be hashtag Fold Haiku. It has to be an actual haiku.
Yep.
575.
Yep.
Syllables, three lines. And it has to be about either Vainglory or the Fold Podcast.
Funny or serious or both or whatever.
Right. As many entries as you want, we're going to pick one.
And we are shipping internationally a Catherine statuette, which if you haven't seen it before, they are fantastic.
Yeah,
you can check
awesome.
It out on our Twitter.
You definitely want one of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely, definitely want one.
There's like five people in the world that have a Catherine statuette.
Fact. Worst contest idea ever, by the way.
Why?
We have a million haikus.
But I love it.
Through. That is like 3 million lines.
Vainglory has become the poem. Twitter has become like... just nothing but poems and haikus
it
for me.
My Twitter feed is full of haikus. All right. Well, anyways, thank you everyone who's entered. Get out there and enter. Follow us on Twitter. Hashtag Fold Haiku. Get your haikus in. You got a couple days left. I expect a mad rush. And I'm assuming we will announce a winner next week or the week after. You may need to give us some time to get through everything.
And but Thursday, September.
We will contact the winner.
Yes. And Thursday.
Through the Twitter.
Through Twitter. Mm-hmm. Yep. And Thursday, September 3rd is the last day.
Correct. Thursday. So if you're listening on Monday, you have 3 days. Get at it. Get cracking. Get out your quill and your bottle of ink. That's how is that how you write your haikus?
Not to Twitter.
I do. And have a hell of a time getting that stuff off my computer screen. Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum.
All right. Heyo.
Also, Extra Life.
We are blowing up.
It is blowing it up.
We are, you know what, just an update here. I believe we are close to 1,000.
Fact.
Very, very generous donations.
Extremely generous donations. So two ways you can do, right? You can help us is you can join our team.
Yep.
Get out there and fundraise. And we're full podcast. You can, and I found this out too. You can join our team and play for your own hospital. Like, you don't have to play for Boston Children's Hospital.
Right.
There's a local hospital, you can play for that. But you can join our team, and then all our monies roll up. And as a team, we compete against other teams.
Yeah. You know, it's wicked funny. So I told a lot of my friends about Extra Life. I've been telling them over the past week, and they checked it out. And one of them texted me about 2 days ago. He said, "This is really cool. I want to get involved." And I said, and I told them the two ways, either joining our team or donating to us. He said, "I'm going to make my own team."
Oh.
And I'm like,
he's going down. Tell him not even to bother. Tell him not even to bother. So we have a team. I've changed my name too on Extra Life. Chuck Robinson now. It's not Chuck the Fold. That was ridiculous. So it's back to normal, my normal name. And I am the captain of the Fold podcast team.
Sure. I guess so, I'll change mine too then.
Well, what I found was I've participated for the last 5 or 6 years, and a lot of the people that have helped me in the past were having trouble finding me because they don't know me as the Fold.
Sure.
Because my license hasn't been changed yet. There's a lot of official things that have to happen first. So,
all right. Fair enough.
But you can find us through the Fold podcast team for sure. And a lot of very generous donations. And things are starting to come together for this. So we've secured a location, I'm happy to announce.
Yeah.
We do not have a date yet.
No, but we are looking at sometime
November 7th.
Yeah.
Is a Saturday. We're looking November 7th, Saturday.
Going 24 hours.
From like noontime to noontime, Saturday to Sunday, roughly.
Vainglory.
Yep.
24 hours.
And we had a friend of mine is nice enough to donate his heated garage, which is a great space. And he's got a router out there and he's going to set up some tables for us and people can stop in if they want. We hope lots of people do. So that's the plan there.
Yep.
More details to come. That's all I'm at right now. For details on that. But get out there, start a team, join a team.
Or the other way, which you didn't mention, is
just donate to me.
Just to you. Donate to either one of us on the Fold podcast team.
Yeah. So thank you very much for people who've already helped out. And that does definitely get a lot of buzz every time there's a donation. It feeds out to Twitter and then people like it, and the Children's Miracle Network always retweets it.
Yep. We always get a, because we set up the notifications, right? For whenever we get a donation, it goes right to our Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Which is always tremendous.
It's pretty cool. And I'll tell you what, go to extra-life.org, like Justin's friend did, read it. And I just find it, you'll be hard pressed to not want to participate in some manner.
Right.
This is a great, great opportunity. It's a great organization. 100% of the donations show up at the hospital. At the Children's Miracle Network. This is a fantastic, fantastic grassroots organization that has taken hold and taken off the last few years. So I'm very excited.
And this is my first year, and this is your sixth?
I think, yeah. So I'm super excited to do this and get the power of the podcast behind it. So that's...
Power of the podcast.
Power of the podcast. That is my bookkeeping. Did you read the Sky Lore?
I did.
Some Sky Lore. Yeah.
I did.
That was good.
I fell in love with it.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to play Sky.
Sugar, hats off.
Yeah, once again, tip of the hat. Tip of the hat to Miss Venom, Mrs. Yeah. Chainsaw.
Did you see the ability preview videos and all that good stuff?
I haven't watched them yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I'm very excited too, though.
You know what?
I read the ability preview.
Okay.
But I really want
to
see it.
Which is more important, to be quite fair.
It probably is, but I need to see it in action. I'm a visual guy.
You know what's awesome is that because Rona was the last one before Sky, correct?
Yep.
So between Rona and Sky, Rona's one of the reasons why I love playing Rona and why she's one of my mains right now is that her animations, whether it's just idle auto attack animations or her actual ability animations, I think blow a lot of the other heroes right now out of the water in terms of the subtle detail and the way that she moves and how she attacks and whatnot. And with Sky, I feel like all those abilities, when it comes to actually seeing them in action, again, blow Rona out of the water. Like, it's constantly one-upping each other.
Okay.
And I love it.
So they're getting better at their craft.
I definitely feel like it's now becoming more finely tuned.
Now, Sky has also sort of like Rona an on-off ability, right? You tap it once, and then you tap it again. So this seems to be something that they're going towards.
Yeah.
Because not all the heroes have that, right?
Well, with Rona, are you talking about her alt?
Well, her B also is tap again.
Okay.
Right? And her alt is tap again to turn it off. And yep. I think Sky has a similar ability.
Rona's alt is on off.
Yep.
Because you can manually turn it off whenever you don't have to continue it. And Rona's B is almost like a double tap for an execute, like a double dip.
Well,
type
you tap
ability.
It, but you don't have to tap it right away again. It's not like a double tap. It's a double tap, but it's a tap. You can pause and then tap it again moments later.
So what's hard about Sky is that when I'm watching the videos, it doesn't show me... I don't know what the double taps are. I have to go out to the ability previews and read on it and then see it from that part. You know what I mean?
There is some sort of double tap on-off thing. I'm not well-versed in it, but I'm excited to... I'm really excited to see it. I just haven't had a chance yet.
With so much hype that's been going on with Sky, she's probably a day one buy for me.
I think at this point in my Vainglory career, everybody's a day one buy. I could just like joke around and say she's not, but she is. I mean, come on. That's just the way it's going to be from now on out.
Hey-o.
But I'm pretty excited. I'm excited for new hero.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So, new Sky lore, if you haven't read that.
She also looks like she's going to be one of the more difficult, like easy to learn, hard to master.
I think they went for that though, right? Like this is for the Korean audience is one of the things I think I remember hearing. No, I'm serious. That they wanted a more difficult hero for the Korean audience.
So like more of an advanced play style.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. That's my understanding. I could be wrong.
You know what though? I mean, it's like, you know, so even for those that I guess aren't like Korean or whatever, playing those heroes definitely like gets you a more, like you start to learn more things because it's not just, I'm trying to think of someone who's very, like who's a very easy hero to play?
Ringo.
Okay. Same kind of thing. Easy to learn, hard to master. Because when it comes to a lot of, you know, Ringo doesn't have a lot of escape mechanics or, you know, whatever. Like positioning is a ton of these things. And I feel like when it comes to some of the newer ones, like Rona or Sky or even Krull, it's like trying to learn the subtle nuances by like playing more of them. Going back to, I guess, quote unquote, easier heroes. You actually, it's almost like you see things that you might not before.
Yeah. I think, too, that they said her animations, she's the most complex character they've done.
I'm sure. When it comes to individual frames of animations, she just watching her videos, she has one of the most, if not the most.
Yeah, I think I remember them saying it's the most. And then, I mean, when I read her kit, like, it sounds complicated. Like, there's a lot at work there.
Four paragraphs for four abilities.
But it wasn't just, like, you know, your positioning. Now it's your enemy's positioning. And, like, a lot factors into how she works. So
yeah.
I'm excited to get her into the fold and figure it out and see what happens.
I am, too. Is she coming out 1.8 or future release?
I think that's what they're saying, 1.8.
All right.
So, also coming in 1.8. You should be excited.
I'm very excited.
Seasons.
Yep.
So, all right. So, explain Seasons.
Seasons, for Vainglory, it's going to be in short intervals, there's going to be different seasons of the year. And in these seasons, if I'm reading it correctly, each season is going to be your ranked standing, your skill tier resets, and you play and you try to get between the seasons, you're trying to get as high as you can in the skill tier, climbing through the ranked system. And then, depending on where you end up, you get certain rewards that they haven't announced yet. They could be a glory skin, something completely new that we've never seen before.
They mentioned trophies, and we're going to get a trophy room.
Okay.
Where trophies are going to go.
Just trophies, or is there other things?
As of right now, I've only read trophies.
And I guess one of the things to keep in mind is the higher you climb, the better the reward.
Right now, it's trophy.
You know, right. Like, trophy or whatnot there, too. So, it's very exciting. They said the season officially starting with 1.8, it's going to kick off in October,
all
correct?
Right, so, here's how it's going to work, so that there's no confusion. When 1.8 drops, you're going to have a month that's not a season. It's just a month from 1.8, which makes me think 1.8 is going to be out soon,
mm-hmm.
like maybe this week. Then we'll have about a month to rank up, and they're going to give out a special trophy.
So
to whatever the highest rank you are when, and then in October, the season kicks off, everyone will reset their rank.
So essentially from 1.8 to when they kick it off in October, it's essentially a preseason.
Sure. Yep. That's what they called it, preseason.
It's very cool.
So from the time 1.8 drops, which we don't know, we're speculating is going to be this week, to October kicks off the autumn season, and they're calling them, you know, winter, summer, autumn, spring.
Now, why do you think they introduce seasons?
I have no idea.
I feel like it's more so,
if you snap that, I'm gonna come across this table and snap you.
what are you talking about? I'm playing with Chuck's little doodads in the basement, things I find in the corners of the basement. The reason why I feel like they introduced the seasons for the leagues of, I guess you'd call them the leagues of Vainglory or whatnot, but in a most fundamental sense, it's almost to provide incentive for playing ranked, because casuals anytime, any day, no matter what, doesn't matter. But they, you know, ranked having that much more competitive feel to it, right?
Well, I will say this, and I know. For me, I only play ranked with you now. I don't even venture in. And here's why. If I go in on my own and I happen to lose two games, I can't play ranked with you anymore. I would be too far away from your skill tier. Like, Like, we're already a full skill tier away.
Right. And that's the big difference
and
there.
And that's a problem for me. And, like, I've asked you not to play ranked because, and vice versa, if you level up, then we can't play together.
Yeah.
So we're in this kind of spot right now where we want to play together. I think we both enjoy playing ranked, but I'm going to save those ranked games for when I play with you.
Right.
And a lot of my friends I can't play with. They're either too high ranked or they're too low ranked. Like, it's just weird. I understand why they did that, why they want everyone to be kind of similar rank.
To help to balance matchmaking.
But for me, it's been more of a well, I guess we're playing casual type thing.
Right.
Because of that. And now I know I've also heard a lot of folks say they're not going to play ranked because they're trying to protect their elo. Right. So I'll just fire up casual. I'll wait till all my friends are on and then I'll make sure I'm going to win when I go into ranked. This should help alleviate some of that. I mean, so if I don't get to play with you for a couple of 3 months, you know, whatever, or we start together and kind of level up together. I'm curious to see how it works. I hope it gets people playing more. I like the achievement-based systems. I've always been a fan of that, you know, because I'll chase, you know, whatever it is, you know, kill two crystals with glaive and earn a trophy or, you know, if they're going to do – I'm assuming there's going to be things like that.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. I'm curious about that when it comes to if you're in a game and you're clearly losing, if people are going to say, you know what, we've already lost, I'm just going to go, I'm going to throw myself at the achievement and hope I get it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll
but you know
see.
What, dude, like, we don't even know what the system's going to be like.
I will say this. Thus far, in its short lifespan, there has been very, very, very few missteps from Super Evil Megacorp.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for me to think that this is going to be a misstep, and there's every reason for me to think this is going to be amazing, and I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Right.
So that's where I'm at, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's no reason for me to think otherwise. Everything they do is amazing.
And every step of the way, we've always had that, quote-unquote, what could it be excitement about us.
Like, and I got it again now. Like, I'm excited for 1.8. Like, Sky and the Seasons mode, like, think about every patch is, like, this huge change to the system and the game that we play and love, like
right
crafting and cards. I mean, it just keeps coming. It's ridiculous. Right. It is ridiculous.
You know, to whoever gets to Vainglory, like Vainglorious, and then gets reset like a month later. Oh man, I can't.
I know, and then
I can't imagine
then it's
that.
Just a grind again. See, I'm not familiar with any of this, but you are from League. League has a similar season system, right?
Once a year, though, not multiple times.
It's once a year. Interesting.
And that's why. So it's going to be, there are four seasons, correct? So it's four resets.
Yeah, it's basically
used to that at all.
It's basically quarterly.
And I'm thinking, like, man, like, that's a lot of vainglory, like, for me to get up to, even where I am right now, which isn't very high.
Right, back there.
In the skill tiers, but, like,
well,
you know,
I wonder if you'll level faster with the achievement-based system.
I wonder.
Like, win, like, three games and earn extra something or something. I don't know.
Like three wins and go from silver to gold?
Yeah, maybe.
Type
I don't,
thing?
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. This is all wild speculation.
Curious.
But we're both very excited, I think, from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the things we said, well, I said I was going to start doing was I had that friend that started playing, Maxo Relaxo.
Yeah.
And he's like a complete junkie now. So I wanted to check in on him. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
See where he's at.
You've recruited him.
Yeah, he's got blistered fingers. He's in the middle of getting a divorce now. He has no money. His VG's been good for him.
Mission accomplished.
He doesn't brush his teeth anymore. No, so he plays a lot, and he loves the game, and he plays a ton, and he's a big fan of the podcast now. And so I was talking to him the other day, and he said that he goes, oh, he got all excited. He goes, listen, I learned something. And he said he learned it from you. He said, I don't insta-lock anymore. I don't jump into a game and just automatically lock Saw.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kroll. So he used to, like, and I remember doing this. I vividly remember doing this. Whether it was that I just bought a new hero or I was, like, excited to play a new hero, I would
You're
get
at work
that.
All day and you're yeah. like, you know what? I want to come home. I want to play this hero.
Right. I just bought Scarf. I log in. Boom, I'm locked. It's a race to lock Scarf.
Yeah.
I don't care what my other team is. I'm playing this character. And he was doing that with Kroll.
Okay.
So he said he's listening to the podcast, and he realized he was doing it. Now he waits. he's become much more versed in other heroes. He thinks it's made him a better player, and he waits to see his team. Because he doesn't want to end up with three junglers or three laners, so he's now trying to complement his team with a hero after he goes, I am the last one to lock every time.
So he's playing the team game in the lobby.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and we talked about that. I don't remember what episode that was, but we did talk about that sort of little mini game that goes on there.
It's that dance of knowing, and then what's unfortunate is like you know, you have to give the people benefit of the doubt. If someone does auto lock, you have to assume that they're not being a jerk. Like, maybe, like, you know what, yeah. Like, dude, like, I'm an amazing Vox player and I really want to play lane and I haven't played it for three games or whatever.
Right. So insta lock is when you jump into that lobby and you lock a hero before anyone else even has a chance to.
In 0.5 seconds. Someone says lane and you say, nope, I got it.
Yeah, so that's an insta lock, and typically it's frowned upon.
Well, so going back to what we said like episodes ago about that is that, because you brought up a great point, whereas, you know, if I'm very comfortable as a laner and I'm not so comfortable as a roamer or a jungler and someone insta locks the lane,
you've forced me into an uncomfortable position now.
Like, you have no way of knowing that I'm not a great jungler or roamer. Right. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
So, but you've just forced me into a position that I don't really know how to play that well.
And nobody remembers that at the end of the game or while they're ping spamming you.
Right.
You don't remember. Oh, you don't remember that I wanted to play lane because I don't know how to jungle and you stuck me in the jungle?
Because that is like, there's no pain to communicate. Hey, sorry, I don't know how to jungle. That's great.
So I thought that was interesting. And so he's doing that. He's doing a lot of counter building. He says he spends a lot of time on the scoreboard. So he's really kind of developing as a gamer. And the other thing he mentioned was he really liked the vision. He, at that point, was only using scout traps to try and blow somebody up. So he put three or four scout traps in one area.
And they would all blow.
All trigger at once to try to kill somebody.
It would cost him $200 and he'd get
like,
no one.
Yeah. And he's like, he's freckling the map like we talked about, and he's trying to get them into key spots. And he's like, what a difference the game makes. He's like, it is a completely different game when you can see them walking around everywhere.
Yes.
And so that was kind of cool to hear.
I mean, and just going back to that too, it's almost this like funny little irony where you want to put these mines down or the scout trap, you want to put the scout traps down, but you don't want them going off. From that idea point of view, it's funny. Like you want to hide them over the map.
So that's just a quick check-in with him. And he is going to take part in Extra Life with us.
Yes.
And he's going to be playing with us. He's very, very excited. He's in training to make 24 hours. He said for him, it is going to be an endurance marathon. He's not taking any breaks at all.
Test of the mind and the will.
That's right. It's a physical and mental endurance challenge that we are setting forth. So that's where he's at.
That's awesome, though.
Yep.
But because, I mean, you know, and I mean, that's like a...
Oh, one more thing, too. He said that he's been going into... he figured out Pot of Gold, and what's the other item that you can do in the practice mode?
Cheatsy Doodles.
So he can level up. So he's been doing that to learn heroes, which is kind of cool. He called me up. Did you know those were there? Yeah, I knew they were there. He's like, oh my God, it's so amazing. And like, you can do all this stuff. And it's a great way for him to learn the abilities and stuff.
Is he still doing co-op versus bot, or is he playing the...
Oh no, he's like ranked all the time. Like ranked,
really?
Yeah, he does ranked and casuals. And
so there are two different types of people in this world.
He is crazy with this game.
There are people who are terrified of ranked.
Yeah.
And like, do not want to play it. They're like, I want to preserve my elo. I don't know, like, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And there are people that are like, all right, let's do it. I'm working for something here. I'm working to get that skill tier up.
So I don't know if he's enjoying ranked because he complains about his elo a lot, but he's very low elo, and he did try to start a smurf to rectify that. He feels like he made some mistakes on his initial account.
Oh, like a clean slate and get all... So what did he have? He went from having all the heroes to now none of them, I assume?
Yes, I don't know. Every time I see him, he's playing on his main account. So I haven't had a chance to play too much with him, but he's having a blast with it, and I'm super excited.
Raxo Malaxo?
Yeah.
Is it the smurf?
Mrs. Chuck has apologized to his wife. for the loss of her husband. So anyways, that's
courtesy of you.
Quick check-in. Yep, I'm spreading the crack. First taste is free.
I love it.
Yeah, so that's where he's at. All right, so...
Do you say what his main? Who's his main?
He's been playing a lot of Krull and Jewel now. He's playing Jewel.
Jewel was one of my firsts.
Yeah, Jewel's fun. And, she's like, another one to me, like Scarf and Glaive. She does something weird.
Yeah. You
know? So that's kind of cool. All right, this week, you want to talk about laning.
Yeah.
Okay. This is good for me because I don't lane very often.
So there are a lot of subtle nuances about being the lane, and I'm not going to get way too overly complicated here.
I bet you will. I don't think you can help it.
So, like,
everyone get out there, spreadsheets and pencils.
There are two different types of people that go into the lane.
I'll keep us grounded.
There are people who are weapon powered and people who are crystal powered.
Fact.
Makes sense so far.
So far,
have I lost you yet?
No, I'm still here.
So for ranged weapon power laners such as Saw or Ringo.
Okay.
I see a lot of people who are, they're in the lane and they go up, they click on a minion. And they take their hands off the iPad or the Android or whatever, the tablet, and they let their auto attacks take control. Okay. And they're like, they either get the minions kill or they don't. But what they're doing is they're pushing, like, they're putting so much pressure on their lane. The minions meet at the 50, and by, if you are a weapon power laner, ranged, going at it and just nonstop auto attacking, killing the minions, you're going to be pushing out your minions faster than your enemy laner, regardless of whoever they are. If you're going to be sitting there and just nonstop clicking on the minions, what that does is that pushes your wave past the 50 over on their side now to their tower or to their turret. It lets your enemy laner now start farming under their turret. And now, in order for you to kind of get up to where the fight, quote-unquote, is in your lane, you have to push past the 50. It opens up, it extends a hand to your enemy junglers who are coming up. It allows you to be ganked a lot easier. It allows you to just be caught out of position a lot more frequently.
Sure. All right, so let me stop you right there. I want to talk about that for a second, because I think that you're right. There's a lot of nuance to lane play that is definitely not apparent as you first start to play a game like this.
It's very easy for a Saw player to just want to get to get mm-hmm. spun up,
sure,
and just want to attack minions and hope that they get the kill.
Right, but I want to remove specific heroes. You talked Ringo, so I want to remove specific heroes.
All right,
I want to talk about the lane and what's happening up there. So these waves of minions are marching out and they meet at the 50.
Yep.
And they start attacking each other.
And they're
and
equally powerful.
If nothing ever changed in the game, they would always just meet at the 50 and kill each other at the 50. There would never be, if nothing else in the game changed, no game state changed, the minions would just keep marching out and killing themselves at the 50. Neither side would ever gain an advantage.
That's actually not true, because there are little things where, because then you start having waves build up, because the minions don't kill each other very fast, and they're, becomes this kind of like conglomerate of,
okay, but it'd be coming from both sides.
Yep. No, I know.
So
I don't,
it would, if nothing else in the game ever changed.
Yep. I know. I just, no, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
So it's true. I'm overly complicating it because it does start pushing to one side and back, but it's a balance. You're right.
I'm going to get there.
Okay.
Because there are things in the game that change that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if left alone, they would just continue to die at the 50.
Yep.
And continue to march out and meet each other at the 50. Right. And sure, one of them will die first, and then it might sort of sway a little bit back and forth, but for all intents and purposes, they're staying at the 50.
Yes, generally, yes.
Now, things that change that. When you put a hero in the lane, and I add damage to that very first minion, he dies quicker than my minions.
Yep.
So now my minions move a step over the 50.
Yep.
If I auto attack another minion, I'm putting extra damage onto it that's not normally there, my minions will advance further again. So this is what you're talking about.
Yes.
By me auto attacking, I'm increasing the distance, the push of my lane minions.
Because you as a hero do more damage, more base damage than your minions do.
Correct. But it's even just an extra bit of damage. I've changed the equation.
Yes.
That equation that would balance itself has been changed by my damage.
And you are now the pressuring force.
Right.
Now, there. Oh, go for it.
Nope, because again, just as a laner, what you want to do is last hit, because that's where your experience and your gold come from.
Yep.
Correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So a tip for a laner is to let the minions do all the damage.
You're going to steal my thunder.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nope, you can say it.
Just for the minions to do the damage and you just to last hit.
It's very hard.
It's hard to do.
It's hard to master.
Yes.
And it takes some getting used to. But and the concept, it's actually a term for that. It's called freezing the lane.
Okay, explain that.
You essentially just explained it, because it's letting your minions do all the damage, and then as the minions are about to do last hit, sweeping in and doing one auto attack, and only one auto attack.
So now you're
trying to get that last hit.
You're trying not to move it in either direction over the 50. You're trying to freeze it right there.
Exactly. To keep it from not going to your enemy's side and
correct.
Keeping it right where. Essentially, what you just said about how the minions would eventually kill each other. You're just doing the minion's last hit.
Correct.
And doing nothing else.
Have you ever been in the lane, standing at your turret, waiting for the enemy wave to come because you don't want to extend past the 50? You've pushed too hard. That's what's happened.
Exactly.
You're standing there doing nothing, earning nothing, because you pushed too hard earlier.
Yeah, and as a laner, that's essentially... It's one of your worst nightmares.
Now, can you... And I've seen the pros do this, at least I think, they'll push a little bit so that they can run down to the jungle shop.
Ideally, and that's what you should be doing, because you've now, by the
look
time... Exactly. No, you're right, because you're going past where I was going to be going. But
sorry.
Yes, by pushing out a minion wave to your enemy's side, you're forcing them to defend their turret. Well, you can go down and invade or do whatever, or buy or do whatever you want. Exactly, right?
Correct.
Like, you never want to...
You got to be back up there. You don't want a turret to kill him.
Yeah.
But it's great if the enemy turret kills yours.
Yes.
Now
because
you're taking kills away from the enemy laner.
And I don't want to... For the all intents and purposes of this episode, I don't want to talk about last hitting under turret, because that's extremely hard to do.
It's extremely hard to do.
But if you can get the patterns of it, it makes a lot of sense, because there are the big minions... Mm-hmm. That take, I think, like about 5 or 6 shots from going from full health for the turret to kill him. And then there are the small minions who take about 2 shots.
The small minions take 1 usually. The second shot kills them.
No, like that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like two full shots to go from full health
right.
to dead.
And I think the big ones take 3.
You know what, honestly, I don't want to get into it because I don't want to start saying, but there's a pattern to last hitting for those minions under the turret.
And you taught me this. The health bar of the minions turns bright orange when your auto attack will kill it.
It actually changes. And it's wicked cool how they've put this into the game, how it takes into account how much damage your auto attacks are doing based off of your weapons,
mm-hmm.
your crit chance,
yep.
all that stuff. It takes into account all the stuff, and it's very subtle to see it if you don't usually see it, but... You can actually see the health bars of a minion change to a very it's that lighter color.
Yep.
That'll let you know that exactly what you just said, where it's your next auto attack will kill it, guaranteed.
Guaranteed kill on your next auto attack. Now sometimes it'll turn orange and then they'll die. Like it's quick. You got to be almost anticipating it.
It's a lot smaller early game than it is late game, because late game if you have a ton of weapon power, sometimes they get to 3/4 health. And your auto attack will kill it from there.
So I'll tell you, I think that this is a really important topic. There's a lot going on up in that lane that's not just self-evident. It's not obvious to a first-time player or a casual player. Games are won and lost based on that economy up there. If the enemy is farming and last hitting everything, and your laner is last hitting nothing... You're in a huge hole.
Yep. They're not lasting anything, but
they're pushing
their lane for the sake of doing anything.
Yep.
It's more detrimental to your team because when you look at the scoreboard and they have 30 minions and you have 10, that's
it's
a huge swing.
It's a big problem. So,
I
think it's a great topic because there's a lot going on up there.
So let's explore this more then. So I started off by saying weapon power ranged heroes. I want to switch over to crystal power ranged heroes.
Okay.
And you can put in whoever you
Saren
want to.
Rengo. Stay with the same two.
No. Because
you are talking about ability power.
Well, yes, but yeah.
Because I could.
No, you're right. I'm talking about the different archetypes. Now I'm talking about the mage classes.
Yep.
Who are generally doing more crystal damage off of abilities as opposed to auto attacks through weapon power.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
So you can say, I mean, you said you don't want to put labels to them, like dip certain heroes, but I'll say, you can just say Celeste for right now.
Sure. Celeste and Scarf are the two that come to mind.
Yep, for the sake of keeping it that simple. Now, being a mage, it's a lot of people say it's a lot harder because you're not building, your auto attacks are generally always doing the same amount of damage throughout the game. Unless you're building weapon power, if you're building just crystal, your auto attacks are pretty much always staying the same. So what you find a lot of mages do is they use their abilities to clear the waves, push the minions, and get the gold. In early game, they have a little bit more of an advantage with that because they can do a lot more ability damage than auto attacks can do. Correct?
Correct.
However, very similar thing. So what you see a lot of Celeste or Scarf do is not do a whole lot of auto attacks. As much as they do, Celeste will throw down a bunch of Heliogenesis, get the supernovas off, do whatever. Or Scarf will throw down goop and then start throwing spitball fires, any of that stuff, right? Now, you talked about it being an economy game. That economy game goes from two heroes playing the economy game to you playing it with yourself. Because you have a resource management. You have to, you have energy costs for all those abilities. You might be able to more easily kill the minions based off of abilities in the lane, but you're costing yourself the ability to sustain in the lane.
Mm-hmm.
Your energy now gets depleted a lot faster without any sort of mana regen items. Correct?
Correct.
And that's why there's a lot of those heroes who actually in their recommended, for mages, in their recommended path for items, it actually says build mana regen to do in
sure.
the lane. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, common first item for Scarf is a battery.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it all the time.
Yep.
I don't do it. It pains me. I try to manage that resource.
It's a lot harder now to last hit.
Yep.
If you're trying to last hit, but the same exact game, letting your minions do it
mm-hmm.
and just get the last hits, it's a lot harder because your auto attacks are going to be less powerful than a weapon power hero, correct?
Yeah, with every hero you take in the lane, it's different.
Right.
I think it's different, right? I want to go back to the freeze and the push rather than switch to the economy of energy. And I want to talk about...
That was all I'd say about energy.
Okay.
It's
a good point. It's a good point. Conserve your energy, use your auto attacks.
It now becomes much more of a resource management game
sure.
than anything
yep.
for playing those heroes.
And if your enemy laner is out of energy, attack, attack, attack.
Or you know what? Like, just keep doing what you're doing because they're now depleted. They either have to go back or do whatever.
Right.
Get by, pop potions, do whatever. Exactly.
So I want to talk about the push and the freeze for a second. Because one of the things I see skilled players do is as I'm trying to last hit a minion, they will take that opportunity to do some poke damage on me.
And it's the perfect opportunity.
Yep.
Because there are two different types of minions.
Yep.
They're the big ones, whatever you want to call them, super minions, whatever they are. And then the smaller minions. And now, generally, you can come up and you can poke damage. A very clear, very common example of this is Ringo walking up to hit you with an Achilles shot.
Yep.
And then speed himself up to now pursue you and chase you away from those minions. As the minions that you just wanted to last hit now die to minion kills, you lose experience, you lose gold.
You lost some health.
Exactly. You lose that potential experience in gold.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you also lost health. You might have also had to pop boots. You might have popped other resources too. It's like, so those things now become a much more a push and pull type of game. And we've all been there where it's that moment of you play from both sides. If you're playing that hero where you now, instead of just looking at which enemy minions are low on health, which ones can you last hit? You're looking at which one of your minions
are they going to go for? Yeah.
And now taking the opportunity, you can do it all the time with ganks too. Telling your teammates when to go in,
because
you know that they're gonna extend past their turret to come up and try to kill that minion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And this is what I was talking about. I think the lane is way more nuanced than the jungle.
It's almost like a like waves of an ocean, like this like whole like back and forth push and pull type thing.
There's a lot going on up there. A lot.
It's this little meta game going on like within the game, and it's you know what it is, like talking about these things for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about a couple of these things that all have the theme of game awareness. Mm-hmm. This is another one of those topics because so many, like not a whole lot of players, you know, I'm not trying to say like, oh, like nobody thinks about this, but when you're new to the game, not a whole lot of players think about like, okay, so I have to think about my minions. I have to think about my team. Like,
how far do I push? Don't I push? I mean, I think everybody kind of understands at this point when you kill one of the miners, you get a push, but that same push can happen just from you laning and auto attacking.
Right.
Right. And you can get that similar effect. So, or when to push, even better. Sometimes you want to push. You know, you just got an ace. You're going to kill those minions as fast as you can and get your minions onto the turret.
So now this can either become a tangent, or it can just be this is where the conversation goes. Whenever my laner dies, I always ping for my team to invade, to let them know that I'm available to come down. If they have to either come up to the turret, well, because think about it.
The enemy laner dies.
Yeah. Yep. I'm sorry. If I'm the laner and the enemy laner dies, I almost think of that as like that's prime invade time.
Sure.
Because you know that either someone's going to come up to defend the turret from that wave that's now pushing, that means there's only one jungler.
Right.
Or they're going to stay in the jungle. I can easily come down and it becomes a 3v2 invade.
Yep. And that's, again, game awareness.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. Also, too, let's mention real quick, and we've talked about it before, but Freelo, if your laner dies, don't let the turret get all that CS.
Because now, generally, between the two junglers, the one jungler and the one roamer, which one is generally underleveled the most?
The roamer.
That roamer
needs to get up there.
Has a free wave of experience and gold.
That just ends up usually dying to the turret.
To the turret.
Yeah, I know.
And the turret can't use it.
I know.
And if you're close enough, the map is so small that you can get there within a matter of, it can kill maybe two
get
or three by the time
there.
It gets up there.
Get up there.
Get up there, defend the turret, but more important than that, be selfish. That's your prime time to catch up in those levels.
If your teammate died, there's a wave that's going to be killed by your turret. Get up there and get that experience and gold.
Or if your enemies are smart, they're gonna push with that wave and try to take down your turret.
It's another reason to get up there.
It's an all gains no losses type game.
Yep. So
it's huge.
Yeah, this is a good topic. I think that's a good discussion.
Yeah. I think so. So is there anything else that you think is very important about the laner, or any of that little kind of subtle nuances of the metagame? Let us know too. What else is there?
Where can they do that?
You can do that on...
The best place would be the band, right?
Yes. Yeah. Either in our band or even in the Discord. I do like the...
You like that Discord, don't you?
Well, I do like the how it's that whole general chat room. Is there different chat rooms or is there just one?
I think there's just one chat room. I'll have to look and see if I can make more chat rooms, but I am a fan of Discord.
So join our band. Someone told me that our Discord link expired.
Yeah, I got to check that.
Is that how that works? I don't know.
Well, at one point it did, but then I created a permanent one, so it could be an expired link, but I know that more often than not, people have trouble setting up Discord.
Okay.
Let's kind of be honest.
Sure.
It's clunky. It's not easy to set
well,
up.
Well, no, to be fair, it's a beta.
It is. Yep. No. The setup is wonky. It's cumbersome. Please, go right now, set up Discord. Join the full podcast Discord. The link to it is in our band. It's stickied at the top. It's on a notice. Scroll through the notices. It's in there. There's a link to it. You got to do it on a PC. Just do all that so that when you game with us, it's ready.
Ask your favorite streamers and podcasters what their Discord links are.
Yeah.
And they'll give them to you.
Yep. But you can go to the band and tell us what you think about the lane and the nuances and the subtlety of it. I think there's a lot there. It's a good topic.
It's a great topic.
You know what? What is your in-game name?
My in-game name is Justin the Fold, capital J, capital T, capital F.
Okay. And my in-game name is Chuck the Fold, capital C, capital T, capital F.
Friend us and let's play.
Yeah, we have not done that in a long time. So yeah. Those are our names in-game. Yeah. Join our band. Follow us on Twitter, at thefoldpodcast.com.
Leave us a rating and review on iTunes. We always love that.
Please.
Yeah.
This has come up a couple times. Older episodes. Our feed is set up to show the last 10.
On iTunes.
On iTunes.
And also on Stitcher, I think,
too. I believe so. You want to listen to the old ones, unfortunately, I'm sorry, you have to go to our website. You can download them from there and then throw them into your favorite personal audio player.
Yep.
Or just listen to them, and I know you do this, right? Listen to them right on the computer.
Yeah, if you don't want to download the episodes, you can actually just listen to them in a new just window.
Yep.
On your desktop or laptop or whatnot, and listen straight from the.
So all the old ones are available. You can go get them. They're just not available in iTunes, and that's a feed setting thing that is way over my head. So, so all the internets and computers and stuff.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, maybe one day. Again, we have no idea what we're doing.
Is that an episode?
I think so. You can email me at chuck@thefoldpodcast.com.
And justin@thefoldpodcast.com.
Yep. Shoot us an email. We haven't talked about that one in a while.
No. You know what? We now have way too much bookkeeping.
Yeah, I know. It's like a whole episode of us just telling you how you can reach out to us. Get on the haikus. You got a chance to win a Catherine statue.
This is now the last week.
This is it. Get it in. #FoldHaiku.
Yes.
And I got nothing else. Thanks for your time. Thanks for listening. I'm Chuck.
I'm Justin.
And this is
The Fold.